This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by the new podcast, We Are Family and Modern Fertility. We are super excited to have them on board.
Super.
Soups.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Oh, my God. Jamie, guess what?
What?
This is our mother 90. I was trying to do that thing where I was just gonna you know, like they do on the radio
you
show.
Say it and I'll beep it.
Okay, this is our mother fucking.
That's a problem.
Oh my God.
That's a problem.
I think I just heard something. Holy shit. That was so Jamie, you know what I also know? Nobody finds us anywhere as funny as we do.
People are fast forwarding we speak.
They're like 15 seconds.
They're still laughing. You just snorted.
Okay.
Anne actually snorted when she was eating the other day, like a legit
did food snort. Up her nose?
No, she just, it was like all of a sudden there was a piggy sound. Even the kids were like, what the hell is that? This is not what our podcast is about.
Everybody's like, what does this have to do with LGBTQ families?
All right. I think we're just Let's a little focus. Punch drunk because it's the first, it's time, time together. I get together again.
Oh, I don't know what that song is.
It's Annie. Together at last.
Oh, sure. Da, 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 yeah, da, I can't contribute to that. This is our first in-person, 7 feet away recording. We have, Jamie came in. We have like disinfectant between us. We have like windows open, fans running. We're like doing the whole thing.
But it feels good.
Oh, it's got hilarious. Okay. All right. So this is our 91st episode. How did that happen, Jamie?
91st.
I can't wait for 100th. Our 100th.
We got to
do. We're doing
what? Our 100th.
100th.
Ellen.
Helen.
Make the drinks less strong.
It's 9:30 in the morning, Helen. What are you thinking?
Actually, we shouldn't be having drinks, Helen. It's 9:30, what Jamie said.
Okay, it's going to be our 100th episode soon. I can't wait.
Oh my God, we got to do something big.
We're going to do a retrospective,
it's like
Jamie.
Like the kids' 100th day of school.
Yeah, oh, I hate that. You're always making like noodle art.
What is that? What is that? That's only happened in the past, 10 years?
Yeah, I think they're just trying to build in math. And it's just
the 100th day of school. And the kids get so excited though. Like Rose is like, it's almost the 100th day.
I know. Then you have to put like 100 dots on a shirt and you're just like, 97, 98.
Excuse me. I laughed so much. I'm coughing. It's not COVID though.
Well, I hope not.
It's not. I promise.
Okay. Well, okay. So listen, that means that the 91st episode means we're nearing the end of season 5.
Yes, we are.
But we don't want anyone to worry because we're literally just stopping down for August because we've moved 400 times. It's COVID and homeschooling. Like we were supposed to just be dark for 3 weeks in August. And I called Jamie and was like, we have to take all of August off. So our last episode for season 5 will be 7/27. And then we're back on 9/7.
Yeah,
it's like not even a break.
You can
probably
also use that time in our break in August to catch up.
Ask them to better themselves, to learn French.
You should. No, to re-listen to some of your old
catalog
favorites, because we got lots of seasons.
It's true.
But you can also always catch us on our Facebook Lives.
Yes, which we have been doing Wednesdays and Fridays, but starting the month of August, we're just going to do Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
So you guys have to catch us then. We're going to have so much fun. Our Facebook Lives are really a lot of fun.
Yeah, we get some like cool guests and we do Where Are They Nows. Mm-hmm. And we also sometimes it's just Jamie and I yammering about like, you know, like this intro, like idiocy.
Yeah. Okay. So check it out. Check it.
All right. So this is all very exciting.
Yeah.
But we do want to say a special thank you to, we have two new Patreon supporters.
Actually, technically three.
Oh, sorry, three.
Because one of them is a couple. The couple is Rachel and Glenna Holland. Thank you so much.
Rachel and Glenna Holland!
And also Dina Lan. Lan?
That makes me want to go, Dina. I didn't want to do Dina Lan.
That's like that. Do you watch that show, Ice Bear? Ice Bear wants to climb the thing.
No, I don't know what
that
is.
It's a show that Rose watches, the three bears. It's like not for kids, but she loves it. And there's this little character goes, Ice Bear. Ice Bear likes to climb.
Okay, well, poor Dina is like, what?
No, Dina, we don't think of you like Ice Bear. We think of you like, yes, Patreon!
Celebration, Dina!
Okay. Celebrate!
Rachel and Glenna! Okay, all right. If you want to join our Patreon community for all kinds of bonus content, we're talking videos, swag for joining, you're going to head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Yeah, I mean, we're putting up unedited videos of our interviews. So, yeah. You know.
Not all of them, because sometimes they're in person or sometimes there's issues, but for the 95% of them are going up.
Mama Sue says, watching the videos has changed her life.
It changed her life?
I said that, but she can't stop talking about how amazing it is to be able to see everybody's face. I need to get a quote of her saying that, and we're going to have to put it in because she just loves
these videos.
Have
your mom send us a voice memo.
She did send me one. I don't know where it is. I have to find it.
To have your mom send me a voice memo, and then we'll get it in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Let's, speaking of the show, it's getting warm in here. All right. Let's get to Catherine and Grace.
Catherine and Grace.
Yes. And Catherine was a listener. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like in every couple, there's one person who was the listener, and then they talk the other one into being on the podcast. Because they'll write us, and we'll go, oh my God, be in the podcast. And then they'll go, I have to talk my wife into it. I definitely want to do it.
I can't wait. And then we'll say, how about your wife? Can your wife come?
Well, she doesn't really listen. She doesn't like to talk out loud.
That's literally me and my wife, though. It would be the same.
It really is.
I would have to really, really convince her. Well, okay, so here's their story, though.
P.S. Grace talks more than Catherine anyway, which is hilarious.
But no, I know. You never think that's going to happen.
It always does.
But that is what happens.
Every time.
Yeah, remember that funny couple?
Yeah, so like Angela and Jess.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Jess was like Shecky Green. She was so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, they both were hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They have been trying to make a baby, but they have been so very, very stuck by the millions of choices that we have to make, and it's really derailing their process.
Yeah. So let's get to it, okay?
Let's do it. They're amazing. Helen, wake up. Helen.
Roll the tape. Helen. Stop drinking the mimosas.
Come on, Helen.
Hi, Catherine and Grace.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Where are you guys coming to us from?
We are from, we're technically from Fort Worth. We're out in Denton right now at Grace's office.
Texas.
Yes, Texas. Yeah. Sorry.
You don't have a Southern accent from being from Texas.
No.
No, we're both. So I'm from like the suburbs area. And most of the people that I know, other than the fact that I'll say y'all a lot, I really don't.
No.
And I learned English by watching Friends.
Oh, come on.
So a lot of times when I'm talking to random people, they'll ask me if I'm from New York. And I'm like, no, I don't.
That's amazing.
I'm just channeling Monica. Channeling Rachel.
Oh, my God. Exactly. If you were channeling Rachel, you would have that because she does that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big jump.
All right. Well, before we get too far into this, we got to get into that elevator pitch.
Yes.
Ooh, I wrote it down.
Yes. Oh. I love when they're ready.
Wow. Robin, people are getting so fancy.
I know.
With
I love it. We've got scripted opens now. Okay. All right.
Okay.
On your mark. Get set. Go.
We are Catherine and Grace from Fort Worth, Texas. We're two geeky best friends who met in law school and unexpectedly fell in love. We've been together 8 years. In that time, we've gotten married, traveled the world, built a life together, which currently includes 6 dogs, and we're in the midst of a journey to add a tiny human member to the pack.
Bam.
Dang.
20 seconds.
Good. More time. You got anything else you want to say?
Do you want to thank your fans?
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yes. Love it. So already we are going to establish that you guys are way smarter than us because you went to law school.
I was like, why? And then I was like, oh, right.
Duh. Exactly. So you're both lawyers.
So I do criminal law. So I'm basically in court most of the time, of course, before COVID-19.
I call myself a recovering lawyer. We both finished law school. I ended up in a family law firm, so like divorce, child custody. Ooh. And I already was kind of on the fence as to whether I wanted to be a lawyer and whether that was what I really wanted to do anyway. And so after about 2 years of that, was like, I'm done. I want to go do anything else. So now I'm actually a federal probation officer.
Whoa.
Wow.
Can you like summarize quickly how you guys met?
Yeah. So we met the week before law school started, a few days before orientation at a bookstore where one of the guys that worked there was helping everyone that got their schedules kind of know what class they had to be in. And he said, you guys are in the same class, and introduced us. We don't really remember each other very well from that interaction.
We both remember the encounter, but we don't remember. I don't remember seeing her.
But then the first week of law school, Catherine, who is known for being habitually late, basically was showing up like right on time, you know, if not a couple of minutes late. And so all the seats were already taken and her choices were limited. And I kind of, being a nerd, was sitting towards the front. And so she ended up sitting kind of at the front next to me for pretty much most of the classes because of that. And so we started studying together and became friends, and then dating.
Wow. Were you both gay when you met? Or do you identify as gay? I should ask that first. I don't know how you guys identify.
Right. So I've pretty much known my whole life. But at the time that law school started, I was dating someone else. And so, I did pretty much through our first year of law school, I was actually still dating my ex. We were really good friends. She was at the time straight. Also in a relationship.
Aren't they all?
And so we really were legitimately at that point just friends. And she ended up breaking up with her boyfriend also towards the end of our first year. So we became pretty much like best friends our second year in law school. And then that summer, one of our friends told her that like pretty much everybody thought we were in love with each other. And
because you were making out.
So, we were just together all the time.
Yeah. So then she got drunk and told me that other people told us that we liked each other. So basically we took the bar exam. We both took it early. So we both did law school in basically 2.5 years.
Ooh,
wow. And the night that we finished taking the bar, we're like, let's go out celebrate tomorrow. She actually made the first move, which was, I was not expecting.
Atta girl.
And we've been together ever since.
Aww.
So.
But once it happened, I think both of us were like, oh yeah, like this is what we should have done months ago.
Oh my God, Robin.
What, Jamie?
You know, my new BFF and fitness guru, Shanti.
Oh my God, here we go.
Yes, he has a podcast. Did you know?
I did know.
He has a new podcast. It's called We Are Family. Tell him about it.
Okay. Well, basically, if you listen to this podcast, the chances are that you have a non-traditional family, or you know someone who has one, or you're thinking of starting one, or you like to hear stories about a family, or you're an LGBT or a Q,
yep,
or you're a straight ally, yep, or you're a single parent, mm-hmm, or you're like,
they get it. They get it. They get it.
There's a lot of people that it applies to, this podcast.
Sure. Basically everyone. So listen, having somewhere to go is home, as we know, and having someone to love is family. That's all.
So true.
And these days, whether it's two parent, single parent, multi-generational or blended, our families really do mean everything.
And it's Shanti. Sorry. So listen, on We Are Family, the new podcast from Parents Magazine, celebrity fitness entrepreneur and outspoken LGBTQ parent and BFF, best friend of Jamie Kelton. She's a stalker. Joins Parent Magazine editor Julia Dennison.
Julia!
To deliver honest conversations about the modern family in 2020.
Yes, it's so good. We are really so glad they created this podcast, because the more we talk about our out-of-the-box families, the more we're recognized. So, guys.
Recognize us, Sean T.
Recognize! What is
wrong? I don't know.
Listen to We Are Family on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts like ours.
Julia Dennison!
Sean T.
When did you all start talking about kids? You're working on that now, right?
Right. So we've gone through quite a ride on that. I was very much at the beginning of our relationship, I didn't want children. Like, I didn't want them, especially after having done family law, where you just see the worst of people. I had just decided I was just not going to have kids. That was just it. And then it was like one day, I'm not even kidding you, I think it was like the month that I turned 30. All of a sudden it was like, all I could think about was like, I have to have kids and I have to do it now. We have to do it. And so I didn't want that to be the driving factor, was like some sort of weird biological clock. Like, I really wanted to make sure that that's really what we wanted to do. And so she had said, like, let's put a pin on it. Let's think about it. Let's get some things in order. And then it really just consumed me for a long time. I've talked to everybody I know about what it's like to be a mom, what it's like to have kids, how they did it, whatever. I've gone to every message board. I've gone to therapy. I've gone to everything. Clearly, if it's something that you think about this much, it's something that you want and you need to stop feeling guilty about it. So then the journey became how to have said children.
Sounds like you're both supreme researchers.
We're both very analytical.
Yeah.
I would describe us as very much like a yin and yang kind of thing. I'm very much like the dreamer and the empathy and kind of the heart, and Grace is very much like the brain and the analysis, and she's the doer. So Grace went into planning mode. We finally this week decided on some things, but I mean, it's been a 2-year process of trying to make the decision whether or not to have kids, and then once we did, how to do it. And in that time, we have literally built a house.
what decisions have you made? Can we start there?
Yes. So first, obviously, we decided yes on kids. We're good.
And that took like a year and a half?
Yeah, probably.
So sort of. I think part of her issue for a while was all the different issues that are going on in the world and just humankind generally contributing to it. She felt like she wasn't doing it good to the world by bringing a child.
Mm-hmm. My wife felt that same way. She was just like, should we be bringing children into this earth, mm-hmm, with climate change, yeah, and with, you know, peak oil and all that running out? And so, I mean, she went through that a lot. But I remember my boss saying to me, and then I said to Mary, you know, there has always been, you know, there was World War I, there was Vietnam, there's always been a crisis going, mm-hmm, on at some point, and you can't let that stop you.
Yeah.
Grace, where did you land on have kids or not have kids?
I always thought I've always wanted kids. I think what's changed is the number. I grew up with my best friend's family, had 5 kids, and I loved it. It was so fun. You know, there was always someone that they could like hang out with. So for me, it wasn't like a big thing. I was like, yeah, like, let's do it. But I wanted to make sure that that's what she really wanted, because she's very much a people pleaser. Especially with me. She wants me to have anything and everything that I want.
Aww.
The perfect example is we bought a comforter set and like curtains that were orange and they were pretty. We both agreed on it and we bought them and we put it up. And then it took us probably 2 months before one of us finally was like, I hate this. And the other was like, I hate it too. I bought it because you liked it.
Oh,
so
my God.
We refer to that as the orange curtain scenario.
So now we try to be very cognizant of that. And we literally, when we are talking about something and we have that suspicion, I'm like, orange curtain?
Yeah. Like, are you doing the orange curtain thing? Yeah.
Yeah. We all have to have those codes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I've been good. Like I knew like I would be happy having kids. I just think my number has changed to maybe one. Once we're both kind of on the same page as yes, the other thing was IUI versus IVF was big for us.
And why was that such a big conundrum?
We're planners. So yes. We went.
I see that.
Yeah. We originally were like, okay, if we're going to do this, we'll just do IUI and then we'll do IVF. And then I actually ran the numbers on it. And IUI obviously has a much lower success rate, but it's much cheaper to do. But then if, you know, the agreed upon number of IUI cycles doesn't go through, I did the compounding cost of we're going to have to buy this additional sperm and then we're going to have to do this additional procedure and there's additional medication costs, there's additional time. And the percentage chance of doing IVF is higher. And it's like, do you go ahead and bite the bullet, do, you know, a procedure that costs $10,000 or put your eggs into the, literally into the basket of something that has a lower percentage chance. But if it's successful, you know, you obviously are going to come out financially. It's cheaper. So.
And I think for me, I have slightly different reasons, but they're on the same board. For me, it's more about the chance of success as well as the time. I think she doesn't necessarily want to wait too much longer to where she's older when she gets pregnant. So for me, IUI, although great, kind of slows the process down because at that point, A, it has a lower chance of success and I'm afraid that she'll be disappointed, you know, every month when it doesn't happen, that like emotional toll. And then us having to kind of give up on one thing to start over. And then at the same time, if IVF can work now, then we would be, it's a higher percentage. So it's more likely we could be successful and have a baby, let's say in 2021 versus, you know, if we had to start over again in January, if IUI doesn't work this time around.
Did you also take into account the fact that you don't always get to choose what you do? Because
yes,
you know,
that's actually that, how we ended up making finally made some decisions this week.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Good. My question was going to be similar, but different. I was going to say, are you doing this in a vacuum or are you actually talking to a doctor?
No. So we did. We've actually gone to the fertility specialist twice. We went and then we were like, okay, well, we set a date. We were going to do it, you know, January of whatever year that was. And then that came and I just wasn't ready. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't choose. Like choosing sperm was just too much. And so we were like, we're going to shut it down for a little bit. And then we ended up going back to the fertility specialist in March to actually finally go through with it. So we've been twice.
So when you went to the fertility specialist, they tested your FSH level and all that stuff. And so, you know, like, so you have a good idea if IUI is a possibility. Versus-
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they were saying that I'm actually like a good candidate for IVF because I actually have a really high like egg count.
Uh-huh. It's funny because as of a couple of weeks ago, I think we both have been on the IVF bandwagon until we were like, okay, we're going to pick. And then there was a donor that she really liked and she hadn't looked at necessarily like what that bank had available.
Mm.
And then he wasn't available. But after I looked at a bunch of other ones, she kind of brought it up again. And so I looked at it and I was like, we'll just call, find out. And they did contact us this past week to tell us that there were going to be samples available and if we wanted to buy some, but it's for IUI only. And so then we had to have a conversation about, well, is that what you want to do? And I was like, well, that's fine. You just have to know kind of again. If it doesn't work out, we'll have to start over, including picking a new donor. So we did buy.
We bought.
Yay. Okay.
Finally.
So two decisions are made. You got the donor and you have to do IUI to start off.
Yes. Yep.
So done. And there's no choice anymore. It's done.
Yes. Unless it doesn't work, in which case we got to start over.
How did you choose who was going to carry? Was that a tough decision?
She, Grace has in no uncertain terms said she does not want to be pregnant.
Atta girl.
I've never wanted to be pregnant. I think it's a beautiful thing that women can bring life into the world. It's biologically amazing. It does not look fun. And
it's not.
Yes.
It is for some. It is for some, yeah. Catherine.
So many people talk about the second that they decide they want to have kids, they can't get that baby fast enough. And you guys are the first couple I think we've ever talked to that are almost the opposite of that. And it's like a year and a half, and you seem to be really okay with it taking a while. Is that true or not true?
Yeah. So yes and no. I think she has been, I want a baby. I think if anything, I've been slightly a little bit of the slowing down force in some respects. I'm a planner, but I'm also like, you can't plan for anything. And I've known that with kids. But the things I can plan for, once we decided we 100% were going to do it, I crunched numbers. I figured out daycares around our area. I figured out the money situation. And then I found a neighborhood that was building. And so I did that last May. I said, we're building a house. And it's a house that if this happens, we're going to be able to have a family. But if for some reason science fails us and it doesn't, it's also a house that's still our dream house, something for us to be excited about. And I think now we're at a point that we're in the new house. We've done all the big expenses that we had for that. And we have enough in savings and retirement and everything that we feel very comfortable. What's delayed us a little bit more is the donor situation. Mm. Because picking... It's awful. Hard.
It's the worst.
Yeah, we call it the search for Superman for a reason.
And there would be things that like I would like, and then I was like, okay, well, this person's okay. And then she would look at it and be like, oh, but did you see? You know, like
I think we nixed several people who were perfectly fine just because we were like, this guy's a douche. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Like everything was fine. The genetics were good. It was a cute baby, but like, ew.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And the douche factor shows up in really weird ways. Like sometimes it's like we had one of those. It was the audio. Like he was so perfect on paper. And then all of a sudden we heard his voice and we were just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like it's such a bizarre, you know, how you kick somebody out, like the feelings or the vibes. It's just so weird.
It's interesting too, how much like went into what we wanted to look at. I was really super creeped out by certain banks that made it feel more like a dating service. Yep. Like they had like a kitschy name, you know, like guy who loves walks or whatever. Like it's, I don't like it. It's so weird. I know a lot of people like don't want to see the adult photos at all. Like they think that's weird. I liked the adult photos, not so much so I could see them, but because I was very concerned about, you know, if my kid ever does go to meet them, if they had put the foresight into allowing adult photos, like they know that the kid's going to be able to find them. They got a picture of you as an adult. So
interesting.
Just side note, I donated eggs in law school.
Wait, so, what?
What?
Yeah, so I actually have kind of like a from the donor perspective.
So you might actually already have biological children out there.
Offspring.
Yeah, offspring, but however we want to say that.
Yeah.
I'm so thrown by that.
I love it when people just drop a bomb that. Like, we didn't know this.
We did not know this. And I'm just like, I have no words. I'm so surprised by this.
Okay, wait. So Catherine, so we're going to pause and talk about this egg donation for a second. What drove you to donate your eggs?
Like I said, I really was just, I never wanted kids. I didn't have that as a plan for me. And so when I was in my third year of law school, they were offering, it was, if you're chosen, you get like $5,000 per time that you're chosen. And so my mom, like, I think jokingly sent it to me like, haha. And I was like, no, I'm going to go do that. That's like right down the street from my house. I'm totally going to go do that. And I was chosen twice. So I actually donated for two different couples. So there's potentially two different Catherine babies out there.
Wow.
Wow.
It does seem like you two are such methodical, analytical, like driven people. I think the 2 years is you getting comfortable with this process, because if you like, yes, choosing a donor is difficult. It's hard. It's, but if you wanted to, you would just set a timeline and say, we're going to have a donor picked by next week.
I had to come around to what, that there is no perfect time. And people kept telling me that people who already had kids, that there's no perfect time. And I still kept thinking that somehow I could find, there was just going to be that moment that it was like, this is the perfect time. And so I had to come to grips with that we just have to do it. Like, if it's something that you want, you just have to go do it.
Yeah.
And I think that we had to come to that conclusion too with the sperm. I think I was very hung up on just somehow I'm going to make the wrong decision. And someday when my kid is diagnosed with anything, it's going to go back to, well, I picked the wrong donor, you know? Right. And Grace and I have very different family backgrounds, and Grace's is much less rosy than mine. And she had to say something one day that I think really stuck with me, which is that, like, no matter what the kid looks like or comes out, like, we're going to love it so much that it's already going to have a better life than I had.
So. And I think that was also kind of hard with the donation process, because she wants a baby that does somewhat look like me, since I'm not biologically involved. And there's not as many necessarily, you know, like, ethnic donors.
There's not a lot of people of color in the donor
pool. So, you know, she was stressing out about it because she wanted this perfect donor that would also make a baby that looked like me. And I was like, I don't care. Because to me, like, that's not what a parent is. Like, a parent isn't the biological donor. Like, it's just the person that raises you. So it's still going to be my baby. I heard more about fast forward 18 years. If he or she doesn't want to go meet their donor, then I want to make sure at least it's someone that they can carry on a conversation with and not, you know, completely hate that person. So I tended to lean more towards maybe donors that were like in grad school that were kind of like her, mm-hmm. that our kid could actually want to go meet that person and be proud of them. Cause I'd like to think that there's still some aspect psychologically that if your kid does want to meet their donor, that in a way they are going to care who they are. And so I should care about their personality, but from that perspective, not from what my kid's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great insight to have going into this.
It's also like where people get to after the baby. Like, when you're in this choice place that you guys are in, all of the choice and the stuff feels like the most important thing in the history of man. And it's really just a means to an end. And it's like, if you can in some way let yourself off the hook a little bit and just make choices and know that no matter what choice you make, it's not going to be wrong. You're going to get the kid you're supposed to get. And once you get that baby or even get pregnant, you kind of stopped thinking about the donor. I mean, I didn't start thinking about the donor again until the kids were much older. And when we started talking about it, but even then, it's just, I'm really focused on my kids and their experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You do. You kind of forget that they have this random donor.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, Catherine, that you know yourself and you know that if the kid gets sick in the future, you're going to look back at the donor and think you chose the wrong donor. I think you were talking like big time sick, but I have a kid who gets like every single, he gets sick all the time.
He really does.
But never once have I thought of the donor with that. It's all on me. Like, I gave birth to him. It's my genetics, my bad immune system. So if anything, you're just going to blame yourself. I don't know if that's solace for you.
Yeah. I've also had conversations with people who have had kids, because most of our friends have kids at this point. And I had a friend the other day that was talking to me about the sperm bank choice. She's straight and she just finds, they all find it fascinating.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, like, I found out, you know, after having my kids that there's all these things that I probably should have asked him while we were dating, you know, like his CMV status and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and you just kind of, when you're bogged down with all these choices and all these filters and things that you can choose, that like most women don't get that.
Nope.
Like,
yeah.
You actually are getting so much more information than many people
than you
get.
Want, truthfully.
Yeah, totally. It really is. Yeah. Like, some of it, I'm like, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
I just don't.
That was, you know, that was how we actually, Anne and I picked our donor was we had a friend in mind that we were thinking of using. Then we were sitting down talking about it one day and we couldn't make the decision on a donor. And finally we realized we love our friend who we were thinking of asking, but he has none of the qualities we're looking for in a sperm donor. Not a single one, except personality wise. And we realized it doesn't matter. None of that shit matters. The only thing that matters is that we love him and we're going to love whatever baby comes out of that combination. Yeah, you know, you don't get all that information with somebody you love. So you just have to bite the bullet and choose someone and know you're going to love that child.
I think what was overwhelming is for me, the disease aspect of it, because I do agree with everything you guys have said, it's too much information. Because when I start seeing, like, there was one donor that carried the gene for Down syndrome, but it was like on a cousin side. And so to me, that was kind of like a, I think it was our favorite donor. And I said no, because that's a really difficult thing that I just, I would still love my kid, but it's not something that I voluntarily, if I have to, you know, want to choose.
It's just crazy though, because everybody has something in their genetic background. Like if you looked at, I don't know how anyone chose me as an egg donor because my family does have stuff. I think that's a good thing as to why Grace wouldn't be carrying, because her family is riddled with
everyone. That's just another reason why
cancer.
Even if I had wanted to, we wouldn't have, because both my grandma and several aunts and an uncle and two cousins have died of cancer.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? If you two were able to make a baby together, you would. And that's the thing I think sometimes we have to keep in perspective, is that you wouldn't know all this choice and you wouldn't be like, well, we better go get an egg donor because you have your family. You would just make a baby together and you would have
if
that
we
child.
Could do it.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that to me, like if you can think about that, that takes the pressure off the choice on the donor because, you know, it would be way worse if it was the two of you and yet you would do it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because Grace actually, like we never once had a conversation about doing a known donor. It just never really occurred to us. Like she has a brother and we just never talked about it.
I think for me though, I think it's the lawyer nature of it, which is why it never popped in, because we've also done family law and how that complicates things. It's like, I don't want someone that's in my life that sees what I'm doing and have some strange feeling of ownership or entitlement to make decisions or something, because at the end of the day, like we are the team.
Yep.
This is like our kid. And so I think that separation of having someone that's like anonymous and who has signed legal documents stating their role in this, it just felt way more comfortable to do it that way.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Jamie.
What if I told you that you could get important fertility testing without going to the doctor or even leaving home?
What?
I know. Well, listen, Modern Fertility makes that possible with easy at-home fertility hormone testing.
Oh my God, you know that I never want to leave the house. I mean, that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple prick of the finger. You're going to mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. Come on.
It's so good. And this is why. Because traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, guys.
I know. No joke.
And we know this. Robin and I know this.
Mm-hmm.
But Modern Fertility, get this, only costs $159 to get the exact same information. And listen, guys, if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you can get $20 off that test.
And you know, Jamie, I was also thinking this is good for people who are trying at home and not in the medical pipeline, our LGBTQ families.
Totally.
But anyway, also there's another point that if you have an HSA or an FSA, your flexible spending accounts, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility. I mean, come on now.
So good. So listen, this is what you're going to get with it. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, which is important to know. Your hormone levels, which is also important to know, and any reproductive red flags you might have, which you definitely want to know. So the results are going to go in depth into what every hormone means, and This is the good part. You can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for your next steps going forward.
Oh my God, I wish they had this when I was trying, but whatever.
Me too.
Fine. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Okay, that means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office, you guys. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT.
That was like a,
I know that was like weird. A weird, I love
PSA.
It.
Modernfertility.com.
So where are you now, like with COVID? Can you be trying now?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So we have a doctor and we've done everything. It's literally just whenever we're ready, we call. But as of this month, they weren't doing procedures.
Thankfully, because of COVID, a lot of the places are offering like free storage when you purchase. So that
oh, that's good.
So if your doctor's not doing anything yet, you can at least kind of leave it there for about 6 months until you can actually get everything transferred and set up.
And so is your sperm there?
It's at the bank. We bought it and it's chilling at the bank, literally.
How many vials did you buy?
We bought three.
We figured that's what most doctors recommend is do three before you give up and do the next step.
So your doctor only does one insemination per month, not two?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. At least for right now. I think they recommend three before they start pursuing, you know, either like
alternate.
Yeah, medicated or double or, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah. So you're going to start with unmedicated IUI.
Yeah.
And you're going to start as soon as the place opens back up.
I think so. I mean, that's right exciting. Now, like, what else do we have to do?
That's true. I love that you still wouldn't fully commit. You're like, I think so.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
If only it could just happen naturally, you know?
I know. So I say that all the time. I really do. I walk around and I'm like, I just want to like, why can't I just have your baby?
And it's interesting because we've even had friends that have had to go through like fertilization as straight couples. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's tried to talk to them about it and things of that nature, but like, they don't get it.
It's just
like,
not the same.
Especially we have one friend who we love her to death, but she always wants to like minimize everything. Like, oh no, like I've gone through it too.
Yeah.
So she did the same thing for like when we were wedding planning and things like that. And like, you kind of almost have to disclose like, oh, and by the way, we're like a same sex couple. So you can tell me if you're like discriminatory up front and I can move on.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't know what y'all are talking about. Like I've told all my people about you guys and how we're all planning at the same time. And like, they just love the idea of same sex.
I know.
So when we talked to her about like the having to do reproduction stuff, she was like, oh well, you know, we haven't really told anybody, but me and my husband had to. And like, I mean, I get it. And it's like, no, but you don't, because it's still your husband's kid.
Yeah.
And
you don't get it.
Yeah, you didn't have to go through this.
And I think that's a lot of what I struggled with, was searching for people that I could talk to that understood. And that's how I ended up online on like message boards and stuff, because unless you've really talked to someone who's had to do all of the choosing and they just don't, they really, it's hard for them to understand. And like I said earlier, like they find it fascinating. And I'm like, it's not fascinating. It's weird.
And yeah, I like it. And even our friends that know that we've been thinking about it and going through everything, I've still asked her as a favor, like just kind of keep it hush hush, because then every time you see them, they want to ask about it and like know what's going on. And I just know that I don't think they know at this point. I don't know that you've told them that we've picked or that we're probably going to start trying like in the next few months. And it's like, I almost don't want them to, because you're going to be like, well, when are you doing it? Like what happened? Like how did it go?
Yeah.
And it's just like, they don't understand. And so that kind of sucks too, because Catherine's the only one of her sisters that doesn't have kids. And so when anything family related that people need help, they want to, you know, keep asking us, because they don't know that we're trying to do something right now and trying to take time to do that. And we just can't tell anybody because, you know, I think it's different than just saying, well, we got married and we're hetero and we're going to try to start having kids.
Trying. We're going to not try.
Yeah.
Well, and now you're about to, like, you've been on one roller coaster, just like getting to this point. You're about to like get on another roller coaster, which is the next phase of the actual trying. And that's an up and down of like, did it work? Didn't it work? Do I have to pick another donor? Do I have to, like, that's all, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. And I think you're making a wise decision by trying to keep it secret. I mean, Robin and I are very different about it, but it took me a really long time to get pregnant. And if I had to tell more people than I had to that, oh, no, I failed again, it just weighs on you so heavily the longer you go. Hopefully it doesn't take you guys a long time. That's my hope for you. But you just never know.
Mm-hmm. I hope that 2 months from now you're sending us a voice memo update with a positive pregnancy, and then we're sharing with the world when you tell us it's okay to.
If I have to choose a new donor, I think we may just quit. Just crazy.
I mean, once you're really, really started, once you really like started that first try and it didn't work, then you're like hell bent. No. This is going to happen. You're on the ride.
In our book, we talk about it being like gambling. Like you're like so much money in already. You can't be like, I'm going to leave the table now. Like you want to try to win your money back. And I know it's a weird, but it's true. And also now Jamie and I know, so we're hellbent for you. So it's going to need
to happen.
We
want this for you guys.
We really do.
You already have a house. You're already so much more prepared than any of us.
I know.
One more comment, though. Anybody who says that these LGBTQ families are not worthy, or what do people say? I don't know. Help me out.
That we shouldn't be parents.
That we shouldn't be. Take a listen to this couple right here and tell me we don't put so much thought. Into these dang babies
that come out in our pain and our butt.
Oh, God. You're going to love them. You're going to love them, but they're going to be great.
It's
going to
be crazy.
Hope so.
You're speaking to two ladies who've been in a pandemic with our two children each for 8 weeks, 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Homeschooling. Can you talk about that, about how grateful we are that we didn't go through with it when we did, because we would have like maybe between a 1 to 2 year old now. And we're like, this is so much easier, like just us.
It's true. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your story, because I just think it's important for people to hear how hard the process is. And it's not always an easy thing to just like get the pre stuff before you even start trying done. So I'm glad you shared, you reached out and wanted to share everybody your story.
That's how I ended up finding y'all's podcast, is that I was searching so hard just for people who understood and who could just, even if it wasn't give me advice, just tell me that I've been through it and I survived and I have a baby. As soon as I was referred to your podcast by like a community board, I mean, I binged the whole thing. And I think that that is how I ended up really getting to the point that it was like, it doesn't matter. All these choices that seem so life-ending right now are not the end-all be-all. Like, it is one step in the process, and then you get to go forward and hopefully have a baby. And just knowing that you're not alone, and that there are other people out there that have either been through it or are currently going through it, because it can be so lonely not telling other people and not getting to have other people, you know, share in the burden. So I'm grateful for you guys as well. You guys have made a big impact on my life.
I gotta cry. I want to bottle that up and just put it somewhere
for the middle of a homeschooling day. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Oh my God, I love these ladies.
I love them. But they're really bogged down, man, in these choices. I know.
But they seem like they're starting to get things moving. Like,
I hope.
You know, they picked a donor. That's good. They're moving. They're moving.
We're getting there.
I want a voice memo from them with the baby.
Oh,
I want one from everyone. Let's just face
it. Well, duh. We're invested.
We have another listener who like DM'd me on Facebook named Amanda George, and she's pregnant. And she sent a video of her wife shooting a BB gun at a balloon that had the color. It was like a reveal, but it was like the wife shooting at the balloon.
It's an interesting way to do it.
Amazing. It was hilarious and amazing. And she's been sending voice memos since they got pregnant, like as it goes. And I love that when people do that.
Oh.
So I hope I get one from Catherine and Grace soon.
Yeah. That's amazing. Babies.
And also, I love that Grace learned English from Friends, because Friends is like my favorite show.
I know. Anywho, they're awesome. And we wish them so much of the best.
All of the luck. All of the luck.
Like, hopefully, since they took so long making these choices, that their getting pregnant process is a piece of cake. Let's hope for that.
Right? Let's hope for
that. It happens. It can happen.
Also, folks, don't forget that our book is on, or you can pre-order on not just the Kindle, but now the print.
Oh my gosh!
And
you
the
guys,
hard copy
pre-order our
on
book.
Amazon.
pre-order. It's really good. But I say it every time.
September 22nd.
I mean, you could just pick it up, read a portion, put it down. It's one of those. It's so good.
That's so important to Jamie for some reason. She's been saying that for like a year, and I'm always what?
When you have small kids, it is important because you can't get more than a page in.
But this is the first time you've explained it that way. Usually you just say like, you can read it in the bathroom. And I'm always like, what that's is when that?
I have to, I put a book in the bathroom so that when I'm sitting on the toilet, I can read a page or two.
I'm so sad for you.
Small kids, man. Small kids.
All right. The other thing we want to tell you before we go is that we have started partnerships with brands to offer you guys discounts because we really feel like if we can pay things forward, that's amazing.
So it's only brands that we really believe in.
Yes.
For our community.
Yes. We think that they're ones that you'd be interested in. Yeah. And we've told you about Mira.
Mm-hmm. They make a fabulous ovulation and fertility tracker. You should check them out if you are thinking of trying or trying.
Yeah, you got $25 off the starter kit and you got to go to ovariestalk.com to get that discount.
Yeah.
But we have a new one.
Oh, you guys.
With BetterHelp. And it's going to be launching. We're going to like do a little social push for it, but like we're super excited. You're going to get 10% off.
BetterHelp is the online therapy. So you can do therapy from the comfort of your own home, especially during COVID times. We need that, especially now. So we're really super excited.
And Jamie and I have used BetterHelp. They have like I know, which is ridiculous, but hilarious. They have like a couple's arm. And so we used it as like business partners. And the lady was like, so wait, you're not a couple.
No, took us a session for her to like get a grip on what the hell we were doing.
And we were like, that's not relevant. We're having a fight. Work us through it. But it was so helpful for us.
It really was.
Yeah. So it's something we really believe in. So check ovariestalk.com.
If it weren't for, what was her name?
How did we forget her name? Ellen?
Ellen. If it weren't for Ellen.
She's so meaningful to us. We're like, what's her name? That lady. I can see her face, though.
No, but if it weren't for Ellen, this podcast might not have kept
going.
It's
true. It's true.
Thank you, Ellen.
Go back and listen to that episode where we had a fight.
No, not Helen. Helen. Ellen.
Everything is not about you, Helen.
By the way, I'm getting emails from people. I have a friend named Ellen who wants to come in if we replace Helen and be our and then she'd be our Ellen. She was like, you wouldn't have to change anything. I love
that. Amazing.
Okay, for when
we get our sitcom, there'll be like a big portrait of
Helen
on the wall,
just like in Good Things. in The Good Place, how they have that picture of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, she's like she'll be like in the sitcom, she'll be like the guy behind the fence in Tool Time.
Yes.
The neighbor, or, Dave. What
like,
was his name?
You know how in Better Things, how every time they walk by that little guy, they touch him? Yeah. Like those, he should be our Helen picture.
She's literally sitting at a desk.
And we pat the top of her head. Okay. All right. Guys, let's keep this conversation going. We are sorry we were so off track today, but we're clearly so happy to be back together.
Yeah, we are.
Where can they get us on the social, Jamie?
All right. Let's keep it going. Let's keep this convo going, friends. You can get us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries_Talk on Insta. If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, and you can also join our community there to talk to other listeners. You can also, they keep coming. You can join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. You're going to get bonus content.
And support us.
And support us as well to keep this thing going. And you can subscribe to us now on YouTube to catch up on our Ovaries Talk live streams.
If you miss it, which you should never, but if you do.
My mother never misses one.
She doesn't.
No.
My sister hits half.
Your sister's there and she's a good commenter.
I feel like she comes in the beginning and then she goes to meetings. That's what I feel like. She just wants to get credit.
My mom is like, I can never get it when you first start. I need to talk to Robin because I don't know how to tell her to get it. Because I just say, go to our page, mom, or click on our story. But I don't think she gets it.
Oh my God.
She's like, I always miss the beginning and I didn't know you weren't going to be there this Friday. Because you said it in the beginning.
Oh my God. So she was sitting there going, waiting.
She was searching for it for like 20 minutes. I know.
And thank you to our sponsors, the new podcast, We Are Family and Modern Fertility, for helping to make this show a possibility.
Thank you. All right. I think we need to end this. Stay healthy. Sane. Stay sane.
Stay away from Helen.
Don't touch your face.
Eggs.
Helen.
Ovaries.
Amen.
Out.
Eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.